about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. Joined in studio in just a few moments, I'll be introducing our in-studio guest. But as we start off, we invite you to look with us in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. For I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And then looking in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 3. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the fact that your word is the foundation and the ground of all truth. Your word is truth. And Lord, thank you for the fact that your word can always be relied upon. Your word is always an accurate guide, a weapon, a source of direction, a source of strength, and so, so much more. More and more empower us to be the people who live a life given to your word, continually walking your word and committed to fulfilling your word, just fulfilling the importance of obeying your word each and every day. Empower us to be faithful hearers and doers of your precious word. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We appreciate you joining us today. I'd like to say we're grateful to have with us in studio Pastor Kevin Armstrong, the pastor of Kingdom Seekers Church. And Pastor Kevin, as we start off, I'm going to ask if you'll take time to introduce yourself a little bit more to our listeners on Watchers today.
Kevin Armstrong, pastor of the King's Own Worship Center, the King's Own at Kingdom Seekers Church here in Tupelo. Been churches in existence for about 15 years, and my wife and I, Melanie, and we've been doing that for a little bit, and also traveling around the country dealing with occupational licensing issues, economic liberty things, which we feel like it's an extension of what we do at the church. We call it kingdom work, and we're just here, you know, trying to make sure that the kingdom of God, you know, gets the recognition that it deserves. And so, been in ministry for a long time. Church is about 15 years old, but I've been in ministry for about 35. And did itinerant stuff, radio, TV, all of that stuff. So yeah, that's it in a nutshell.
All right. Well, we appreciate you coming to be with us today here on the broadcast. And Pastor Kevin, today is Election Day.
Yep.
A big day for our nation and a big day for the kingdom of God as well. And it's important for us as believers to understand that we should take this sort of thing very, very seriously. And you know, I think it's good for us to understand that there's a sense in which we could eliminate the word secular out of our vocabulary. Everything really is spiritual,
right,
and has spiritual implications. And it's important to know that we're to be grounded in the Word of God, directed by the Word of God, and empowered by God's Word to do everything that we do,
right,
in the kingdom of God, in the world, period. And so that's an important goal. So as we start off today, you know, I want to share a couple more scriptures that we talked in 1 Timothy chapter 2. It talks about the importance of us praying for kings and for those who are in authority. And, of course, we're to pray for our leaders. We're to pray for the president, the vice president, Congress, the Supreme Court, all of our leaders, every nation. We're to pray for our leaders in government.
Right.
But also, we're to recognize the fact that no matter who's president, Jesus is Lord.
Right.
Jesus is king.
That's right.
So as we start off, any initial thoughts as we get started with our discussion?
I agree. We, regardless of who's president, Jesus is Lord, he's king. And someone just put that out on Facebook a little earlier, and I challenged that. And they said that that God is in control. And you know, but the reality is, He is because of his sovereignty. Mm-hmm. But he literally gave man dominion over the earth. And mm-hmm. so we do have a say in what goes on in the earth. And we cannot leave it up to God to do it, because if that was the case, then Jesus didn't have to come. If God was just going to be in control and everything was going to turn out all right, then Jesus could have stayed in heaven. He didn't have mm-hmm. to take on flesh and become the sacrificial lamb to die for the sins of the world, which means so then Jesus as a man had to participate, although God was in control, but yet Jesus had to involve himself in the plan of God in order to get the will of God to come to pass. And mm-hmm. there's no difference as it relates to the, you know, where we are now in this election. And even after the fact, and, you know, are we willing to make things more difficult for us? I talk about, you know, where we are now in this election process. It's almost like people would who gain a lot of weight. The weight comes on easy, mm-hmm. but they tell me it's difficult to get it off. I wouldn't know nothing about that. I wish I could gain some weight myself, but it's a lot harder to get it off than it was to gain it. And so there's so many things that are at stake, because if we lose some more religious freedoms and things like that, how difficult is it for us to get it back? Roe versus Wade was established in 1973, 40 something years ago, and we still hadn't fixed that problem. Prayer out of school, we still hadn't fixed that problem. Now gay marriage, you know, we may not ever fix that problem. And then now we're looking to give up more and more and more, and we'll never do it, because the church never is in a position from a unified position to be able to confront these issues to where God's will can be done. And as a result of it, we just keep going backwards. Hmm. So,
well, you know, as it relates to, as we look at a number of the issues you just mentioned today, largely want to look at this. It's a statement we've heard all our lives, mm-hmm. but it's a myth, really. People use the term separation of church and state.
No such thing.
But, and of course that's such an important thing to understand mm-hmm. then. The fact is, God is supposed to be the center and the foundation mm-hmm. of everything, including government.
Right.
And as we look in the Word of God, we certainly see that initially God was the God over the nation of Israel.
Yes.
And at a certain point in time, they decided, we want a king. Mm-hmm. Basically, they were rejecting God because God was their king.
That's right.
And he was a perfect king.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
But they decided they wanted a king. Well, God let them have what they wanted. Mm-hmm. He gave them a king, and the first king messed up pretty badly.
Yep.
But all the rest, outside of Jesus, have messed up to some
That's
extent,
right.
too.
That's right.
So human kings outside of Jesus aren't perfect. Jesus
no.
is perfect,
yeah.
but the rest aren't.
That's right.
Mm.
Exactly right.
Well, yeah. Share from your own perspective why it's so important for us to really understand that the whole concept of separation church and state is such an ungodly thing.
Well, of course, when you look at the whole proposition of separation church and state, it was never intended to separate the church from the state. It was intended that the government could not mandate a nationwide religion, that everybody would have to be Baptist, everybody had to be Methodist. That's the original intent for the proposition of the separation church and state. Mm-hmm. And so it was never designed to separate the church from the state. And mm-hmm. and when you look at the founders and they had enough sense to understand that you know, this republic that we've established is because of the church, mm-hmm. then why would we turn around and separate the church from the state?
That's
and so
right.
the church represents the spirit. So the church is the source of the state. Mm-hmm. So whenever you remove anything from its source, then that thing dies. So if you mm-hmm. take a tree, the source of the life of a tree is the ground. If mm-hmm. you take the tree out of the ground, the tree dies. The fish is sourced, its life source is the water. You take mm-hmm. a fish out of the water, it's going to die. So if you remove the church from the state, from the church, the state will die. Mm-hmm. And look at the things that we have now. You know how, you know, over the years, the things that we've done, you know, to remove from, you know, we've taken prayer out of school, we've removed the Ten Commandments, we've done all of these things to be able to accommodate those who actually just don't believe in the Word of God. And look at all of the lawlessness that we have. Look at all of the lewdness that's going on in the world. All of the, you know, sins running rampant because we've chosen to take God out. And mm-hmm. when you do that, that particular thing dies.
That's right.
Yeah, it dies. I mean, he's a source. I mean, you know, so how do you do that? And I wrote about it. You wrote a book in 2008 called How Would Jesus Vote? One of the chapters is called The Church, Separation of Church and State. Go into detail about that, historically, what it meant, and talked, just mentioned some of the things that I just mentioned at that point. You cannot separate the church from the state. The moment you do, the state will die. And that's why our state, the state of our nation is in the condition that it's in now, is because we've done that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if someone wants to get a copy of your book, how would they?
Email me at KJARM. It used to be an ebook years ago, and we took it down, and I can actually put it back up. It's KJARM7@gmail.com or KJARM7@gmail.com, or you can do the King's Dome, KingsDomeWC. @gmail.com, thekingsdonewc@gmail.com. You can get it there as well. If you're local, you can call 662, or if you're not local, my phone number, don't mind giving it to you. Actually, I'll give my executive secretary, 662-687-0164, 662-687-0164. Book is filled with information that came, I believe, from the throne of God that helps us be able, as believers, to be able to navigate, you know, this process. I'm actually writing one called The Pastor's Posture in Preparing Parishioners in the Political Process.
Say that again.
The Pastor's Posture in Preparing Parishioners in the Political Process, because I think pastors need to get involved in this process of preparing parishioners, because we make up the voting class. Members of churches make up the voting class. And if we're not prepared from the Word of God, we don't tell people who to vote. We tell them how to vote. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's our job. Mm-hmm. And you equip them with truth, and so that the Holy Spirit can speak to their hearts. But when we've bought the lie of separation of church and state, then we don't do anything politically from our pulpit. Mm-hmm. And that's why a lot of pastors don't deal with that. And so what you have is you have an unprepared membership that goes into a society, and they make wrong choices with their votes. And as a result of that, we put people in office that further take away, erode all of the liberties that God has given us in this nation.
That's right.
Yeah.
Would you take time to pray for our listeners that they would really grasp the truths behind why we as God's people need to be grounded in the Word of God?
Absolutely.
In the way we not only vote, but the way we carry ourselves politically and otherwise.
Yes.
As well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Father, we do pray, and for every person who's born again, and we've allowed, you know, this political process to separate and divide us. The church is now Democrat. The church is Republican. The church is liberal. The church is conservative. The church is black. The church is white. And we've allowed that. The church has allowed that. And Jesus, you said in Matthew chapter 12 that if any house, city, or kingdom divided against itself, it shall not stand, but shall come to desolation. And you said, and if Satan is divided against himself, how then can his kingdom stand? And so how in the world, Father, can we, as the most powerful entity in the world, Psalms 103 says that God's kingdom rules over all kingdoms. Your kingdom's the greatest kingdom. The church is here to present and represent your kingdom. But when we're divided, then we become the weakest entity in the world. And it's a tragedy at this point that politicians in America, people in America, don't fear the church. And the reason why is because we're so divided. So I pray, Father, that this day will be a defining moment for the body of Christ, that we would come together and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and stand up and go and do what's right, Father, with our votes in Jesus' name. So we pray, Father, that you'll speak to hearts, and that they'll be clear in understanding that my sheep know my voice, and a stranger that they will not follow. So we thank you for doing this, Father. We thank you that there'll be testimonies of people going to the poll, ready to vote and one way, and they hear your voice and they vote another way. We're looking for those kinds of testimonies in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. You're listening to The Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is Pastor Kevin Armstrong, pastor of the Kingdom Seekers. We'll be right back after this break.
One of the more emotional times on our tour of Israel is when we go to the house of Caiaphas. This is where Jesus Christ was held the night before his appearance before Pilate. And we see the dungeon where he was held. And it's just a very striking thing to be there knowing our Lord suffered in this way and was treated in this way, that's one of the places we'll visit is the house of Caiaphas, where the trial took place as well. Well, for more information on our tour of Israel and all the places we'll see and all the places we'll go, it's going to be a wonderful time with brothers and sisters from around the country. Our phone number is 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5 for more information. Or if you want to go on the internet, twholyland.com. Go to the website, twholyland.com. Come see the land of the Bible with us in March.
Christians often get a bad reputation for thinking we're better than other people. We're often accused of pretending to be holier than thou. But when you really consider what we're actually saying when we say we're Christians, the opposite should be true. When I say that I'm a Christian, what does it mean if it doesn't mean I'm openly admitting that I'm a sinner incapable of pleasing God? When I say that I'm a Christian, what does it mean if it doesn't mean there was one perfect person who lived a life I never could and paid a debt I truly owed? When I say that I'm a Christian, I'm far from better than anyone else. In fact, when I say that I'm a Christian, I'm saying I deserve death and eternal separation from God because of my sin. It should humble each and every one of us when we say we're Christians. The truth of the matter is, Christianity doesn't make you perfect. It publicly acknowledges you're not. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Miki Addison. Go deeper at urbanfamilytalk.com.
More than a million believers have signed the pledge to boycott Target, and we urge you to join them. The American Family Association opposes the policy of Target allowing transgenders into the bathroom of their choice. Here's AFA President Tim Wildman.
There's a reason why we've had male and female separation in restrooms and fitting rooms for all of mankind's history.
A policy which allows men into women's restrooms and fitting rooms is not right, nor is it safe.
I just can't see corporate executives at Target or anywhere else sitting around a table going, you know, guys, I think we need to open up our women's restrooms for men.
Visit AFA.net to learn more and sign the pledge to boycott Target. Don't spend your money at Target until they stop putting our family members at risk with this dangerous, politically correct policy.
Protect your wives, daughters, your sisters, your moms. Don't shop at Target. Let them know.
That's AFA.net.
Fred Hammond, the song Let the Praise Begin. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Again, we're grateful to have you in studio with us, Pastor Kevin Armstrong, the pastor of Kingdom Seekers Church here in Tupelo, Mississippi. And Pastor Kevin, as we start off, I want to share a couple scriptures from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, and then chapter 11, verse 11. But specifically, just to give a little context before I read them, 1 Kings is a powerful book, and the 1 and 2 Kings are powerful books that lay out the history of Israel from the first kings they had, and then to where, of course, they run into the division of the kingdoms after Israel has sinned, and then they go into captivity. But here, again, reading from 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, it tells us these words. Now, if you walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I've commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. And, of course, that's where the Lord is speaking to Solomon after he's built the temple. And it's a glorious time in the nation of Israel where they're near their height as a great nation. And God lets him know, if you'll obey me and follow me, I'm going to bless you.
Mm-hmm.
But he also lets him know, if you disobey me, then, again, you will lose this height and this place of glory as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, as we know the history, they disobeyed, and, of course, they lost that place of glory in history as a nation, the nation God wanted them to be. But, again, it's important for us to know that God wanted to be their king and their government,
mm-hmm.
and, of course, originally he was. And so at that point in time, they had a perfect king.
Right.
And so one of the reasons why it's so important for us to seek to have, obviously, again, though we mean God is not our king or president per se, but a king and a leader should be as close to God as it can be.
Yeah.
Again, for people to think, well, it's for the preacher to be close to God and the president's there, so. No, you want a leader that is as close to God as it can be, a spirit-filled leader that is a man or woman of prayer who's committed to the word of God, the spirit of God. Because, again, the more they hear from God and follow God, the better off your nation is going to be.
Absolutely.
Because God and his word is the best thing that can happen to a person, a family, a community, a state, a nation.
Yep.
God's word is to be the guide for everything
do. Well, Solomon said it, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn.
That's right.
And, you know, and when you don't have righteous leadership, then, you know, there's only two spirits. You know, there's God and Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're every human being is going to be either led by one or the other. And you're not going to be led by both of them. Although I'm awful afraid that some Christians are back and forth, even in this voting deal, that we're back and forth as it relates to, you know, being led by the Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit is, you know, he's responsible to lead us and guide us into all truth. And that's what we should be looking for, is the Holy Spirit's leadership. He knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing catches the Holy Spirit by surprise. He knows everything. And you know, and if the church would really get serious about it, then he'll tell us what we need to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll tell you who to vote for. He'll tell you who not to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll tell you everything. And why would we be guessing and speculating, using conjecture and all of those kinds of things to try to figure this thing out? The Holy Spirit, no, ask him. He'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And what would happen if the church would do that? Not pray prayers based upon traditional way of doing things, but pray prayers that you deal with intercession all the time. You know this. You can't when you have preconceived things in your head when you pray and ask God for something. That's not, you're not surrendered.
Mm-hmm.
When you pray, Jesus said, when you pray, our Father who is at, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want your will to be done. I don't want my will to be done. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, you know, man, if any way possible, if you can just kind of get this cup out of my way, but nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. That's prayer. That's surrendered prayer. In other words, my flesh, you know, it looks like I should do this, but what is your will for me?
Mm-hmm.
When we pray like that, all of us pray like that, the Holy Spirit will speak the same thing to the body of Christ, He won't say two different things to do two different people that are praying about the same thing. He'll mm-hmm. tell both persons the same thing.
That's right.
Because otherwise, he speaks with a forked tongue, and
mm-hmm.
God's not double minded.
That's right.
And he tells all of us the same thing.
And it's so important for us to understand that as believers, we're to be guided by the Word of God. We're not just to have the name Christian or the frills of being Christian.
Yeah.
We're to be guided
yeah.
by the Word of God.
Yeah.
If we, in fact, we are the Church of
absolutely.
Jesus Christ. You know,
yeah.
I remember. Some years ago, Pastor Kevin, in in Jackson, Mississippi, ran into a young man that considered himself a Christian thief.
Oh.
He said, I pray before I steal.
Oh, wow.
Well, of course, the reality is you can't stick Jesus on just anything and decide it's Christian. Well, no. Again, the Word of God obviously clearly says, thou shalt not steal.
Yeah.
So the fact is you can pray till you're blue in the face. Right. The fact is if something is against the will of God, God is not going to change his word.
No.
So if a person, they can say all day long, I'm a Christian, but if they violate the Word of God or ignore the Word of God, they're not following God.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And I see it a lot, you know, been dealing with even in this political process and all of the back and forth and you know, people are mad at you because you don't support. You know, I had some person say, how can you be a black pastor in this area promoting Donald Trump? Of course, not promoting anybody. We're promoting principle. We're not promoting a party or person. Mm-hmm. And then using the Bible to teach people, encourage people to do the same thing. I said, first of all, when you understand that what your responsibility as a Christian is not to promote any party. You promote the platform. That is as closely associated with the Word of God as possible. That's our responsibility. What would happen if the church would do that? You know, and of course, I hadn't got any response from it, you know, since that time. And you know, and one thing I'm concerned about, Brother Joseph, is 1 Corinthians 2 talks about the natural man receiving not the things of the Spirit, and because they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And it's so sad that you have all of these people who are overwhelmed in their flesh, the way that they think. And then you've got, which is unbelievers who are flesh-minded, and then you have believers who are carnal-minded, and they can't discern the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you do, then you have to gain your perspective from traditional ways of doing things, as opposed to allowing the Holy Spirit to renew your mind with the Word of God and allow Him to show you what to do. And I don't find that happening much in certain areas. So, I mean, you know, and... So it's unfortunate.
Right.
But we prayed earlier that would change, and we believe that we'll get some testimonies that, you know, that'll change. And like I said, I've been, you know, been Facebook Live and did two or three prayer calls and spoke on those in the last two or three days. And so hopefully, you know, people are getting a different perception about what's going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Well, I want to share with you a question that from Cavell and the Cherubin, and of course we're glad to have all of our listeners and folks tuning in with the Cherubin and the chat room and through all means. I also want to say welcome to Addison, who's listening from Poland, okay?
Good.
He may not get to vote today, but he can pray for us.
Amen to that,
But Cavell has a question. Let me read it for you. Cavell's question is, how does, quote-unquote, making it easy as it relates to our vote line up with Matthew 5:10, which states, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake? I'll read it again, okay?
Okay.
How does, quote unquote, making it easy as it relates to our vote line up with Matthew 5:10, which states, blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake?
Well, first of all, Peter said, though all that live godly shall suffer persecution. So whether you aid in you being persecuted or you don't aid in it, you're going to be persecuted. So why would you aid in persecution? In other words, why would you knowingly put bring a known pedophile into your home, and you have young kids there, and give them free reign of your home? Why would you do that?
Mm-hmm.
So why would
then call it persecution?
And then call it persecution.
That's foolishness.
That's worse than foolishness. I don't even know a word for that. And so why? And it's the same way when it comes to voting. Why would you do something like that when you know that the people, when these people are blatantly telling you that I'm gonna abort a baby up to the ninth month, and that baby still doesn't have any civil rights? Period. I mean.
Why put that kind of person in office?
Why would you do that when you know automatically he that killeth the innocent blood, shed innocent blood shall not be innocent? God said that. Mm-hmm. And then we don't put ourselves in those positions to cause the scripture to come to pass. The scripture is going to come to pass whether we like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as it relates to that.
Right.
So yeah,
right.
And that's so. I don't think there's any relation, you know, to Matthew 5:10 And then what Peter said in 1 Peter, talking about all that live godly shall suffer persecution, just comes with it. Whether you do good, you've known this, Brother Joseph, whether you do good or bad, there's persecutions going to come. Right. So in other words, Jesus did nobody wrong, but he was an object of constant persecution.
That's right.
So it's not whether we do good or bad. It's going to come. It's just part of what happens. But certainly we're not going to do anything to promote it. Mm-hmm. Don't have to. It's going to come.
Right.
Yeah.
And so an important goal for believers to keep in mind is that we're just called to do what's right and to walk in truth continually. Because as we walk in truth, God is going to use that.
That's
no matter what, God is going to use that. As we walk in truth and preach the truth, God is going to use that. When we back up from truth, or when we neglect to preach the truth or live the truth, that's when that allows darkness to come in.
Absolutely.
So a key is for us as believers to aggressively preach the truth, aggressively live the truth, and God is going to use that continually. And even when it looks like it becomes hard, even under persecution, God is still going to use it.
Yeah, that's right.
But a key is to hear the truth, to preach it, and to live it. And no matter what's going to happen, you're going to produce fruit as long as you stay on the truth.
That's right. That's right. You're exactly right.
And all of us are called to live that truth, too. And I tell you, we'll at least get started on this side of it. But, you know, I think of a great example in history that means a lot to me now. And I've touched on this before, but it's important for us to know that no matter how much a person, you know, and I'm speaking of people that genuinely save, if they make a mistake, have a blind spot where they're doing something wrong, it doesn't make it right.
No.
It's wrong still. I use an example. George Washington had slaves. That was wrong, period.
Right.
Thomas Jefferson had slaves. That was wrong, period.
Right.
John Quincy Adams was against slavery.
Right.
And he stood against it, and he was president, and then he went back to Congress and stood against slavery aggressively. Well, see, in his day and time, by and large, most people were for slavery, sadly. But he consistently stood on it, and he kept bringing up in Congress, when he was in Congress, he kept bringing up the slavery issue, so much so that Congress made a rule that said, you can bring up other issues, but don't bring up the issue of slavery. But he kept bringing it up anyhow. Well, they got tired of him after, but he kept bringing it up. And so he did it right until, you know, he died on the congressional floor, actually, though. But before he died, he continued to stand against slavery. And there was a young freshman that came to Congress, and he just took a liking to him.
Yeah.
And this young freshman, he told him, these three things you do and you can help end slavery. Well, not long after that, just a few months later, he died. But remember, in the kingdom of God, you do what's right, you do what's true, and keep at it. And keep at it. God is going to use it because the kingdom of God is built with seeds of obedience, one act of obedience at a time. Well, this congressman, he had a chance to participate in John Quincy Adams' funeral in a prominent way, too. But he really learned some things from him. So later on, he ran again, lost. Ran again, lost. lost a number of times until eventually he got elected president. That was Abraham Lincoln. And God used him to help end slavery in this nation.
That's right.
So the key was you stand on truth no matter what, because God is going to use it.
That's right.
Whether you realize it or not.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And you know, regardless of whatever anybody else says, you know, we don't cower down to people who don't like truth. You don't do that. And I'm not, you know, Jesus, the scripture said Jesus made himself of no reputation, which meant that, because what happens is when you're interested in trying to preserve your reputation, you will cower down. People will make you get off your, you know, they will make you, you know, compromise. And and I've been, you know, our kingdom message has been talked about for years, and so we've stood alone. I stood alone with this, the book, How Would Jesus Vote, and those things like that. So we're used to it. I mean, it's just, but we know it's right, you know. And I would rather be right with God, and be wrong with man, but as long as I'm right with God,
that's right. Because ultimately, that's what God is going to win. Period. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our in-studio guest is Pastor Kevin Armstrong. We'll be right back.
The Awakening. shaking believers out of our slumber and calling us to action. The Awakening, encouraging Christians to rise up and stand, though all around us are falling. The Awakening, hosted by a warrior for the Word of God and for the Constitution, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
I am proud to say that I am not an African-American. I am an American.
Tune in to Urban Family Talk, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 Central for The Awakening. Abraham Hamilton III.
But Abraham, the racism today is equally as bad as it was in the 1860s. Foolishness! Racism is simply an extension of the corrupt sin nature that is inherited from Adam. Oppression, if you will, it goes all the way back to two cats named Cain and Abel.
Listen to Abraham Hamilton III on the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 3 o'clock Central on Urban Family Talk.
What can you learn about the gospel from a Hollywood movie? More than you think, according to Dr. Tony Evans. He'll bring us a fascinating illustration from a popular film today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
In the movie Pirates of the Caribbean, pirates had stolen some goods, only to discover that they were cursed by the captain for their theft. And whenever they walked around under the moonlight, they walked as skeletons. During the day, they looked like regular folk, but really they were dead men walking. Many of us today are living under a curse. We look like we're okay in the daytime, but when we are living with ourselves, we know we're just bones in a valley. In the movie, they said there's only one way to solve this problem. They had to return the stolen goods, and the blood of the captain had to be shed over it. The problem is that the captain was no longer there. And they said, we'll get the captain's son and let his blood flow over the curse. And when the blood was shed, the curse was removed. 2,000 years ago, God's son came down to earth and hung on a cross. His blood was shed over the curse of your sin. It wasn't his sin, it was your sin. And he says, if you bring your sin to me, my blood will cover whatever it is that's got you dry bones in the valley.
If you want to see God's power and presence restored in our country, get a copy of Dr. Evans' book called America. It explores the Bible's plan to restore justice, morality, strength, and freedom to our country, and what it means to be a citizen of heaven living in a place called America. Get a copy today by visiting us at tonyevans.org. Then be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
To be tangled up in fear.
music of Mandisa, the song God Speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. We're grateful to have in studio with us today Pastor Kevin Armstrong, the pastor of Kingdom Seekers Church here in Tupelo, Mississippi. Pastor Kevin, we're going to try to deal with a couple questions here that we received by way of the chat room here. The question is, should a pastor tell who he's voting for from the pulpit? Should he do that?
Publicly. I think it's up to his discretion. If he feels like he can, I don't see anything wrong with it. I've had a pastor tell me that he doesn't even deal with politics in his church, period. And the reason he said it is he said because it divides the church. And my argument is your church is already divided because you got people in there on both sides of the aisle. And they will stay on both sides of the aisle unless you start to engage them in what's right and proper, and you try to unify them around the Word of God. I mean, Jesus did not have a divided group of men following him.
That's right.
He had one message, and for 3.5 years, he pounded that message, which was the kingdom of God, into them. And when he left, he made sure that they were able to carry on that thing. And when you look at the book of Acts, you look at the entire book of Acts, they preached the same message that Jesus preached, and then all of the letters of the New Testament church talks about that same message that Jesus preached. Our responsibility is to do the same thing. And there's not two messages, there's only one. And pastors, again, the pastor's posture in preparing parishioners in the political process. Maybe one day I'll get that book written and get people involved in this process. We've got to do it. Jesus didn't shy away from political stuff.
Right.
He dealt with political issues. What's Caesar? Whose inscription is this? Give God what belongs to God. Give Caesar. That's all political.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were talking off air. The church, ecclesia, is a political term. The church is—it's all political. The kingdom of God is a government,
And it covers everything.
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 Absolutely everything.
There's nothing that falls outside of the scope.
It has a constitution. It's called the Bible. This is the Bible. The constitution. The Bible is the constitution of the kingdom. It has a taxation system. It's called tithe. It's got laws. It's got all of that stuff. But we don't. The church doesn't realize that.
And so that's one more reason why it's so important for us to be students of Scripture. Because
absolutely.
One of the sad realities, you have lots of people, they're spiritually anemic and they're largely
absolutely.
Ignorant because they're not really students,
absolutely.
Of consistent
absolutely.
Students of the Word of God.
Absolutely.
And a huge priority for the church is to teach and train believers to become diligent students of the Word, that they establish, those spiritual disciplines of getting to the Word of God every day, because that molds us, it shapes us, it spiritually educates us, it empowers us.
Yep.
So when believers aren't studying the Word of God, again, we often are left out in the dark.
What happens, the subconscious doesn't know the difference between right and wrong. Brain's made of two major parts, the conscious and the subconscious mind. The subconscious doesn't know the difference between right or wrong, but whatever it sees or hears repetitiously, it deems to be true. The problem with many believers is that when they get born again, they never involve themselves in Romans 12, 1 and 2. You quote 12, 1 and 3. 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, perfect will of the Lord is. And as long as believers stay carnal in their thinking, the thought patterns that you had before you got saved, because of the way that the subconscious works, if you don't do something to change them, you will remain in the same thought patterns, and you will make decisions based upon the way that you used to think. And so the reason that we can't get believers to come off their old traditional way of thinking as it relates to politics and other things is because they won't get into the Word and get their mind renewed to the Word, to where now the Holy Spirit can start showing them truth.
That's right. That's right.
And all of us become responsible. We are all personally responsible to renew our mind. It's not pastor's job to renew my mind. I'm responsible to take the Word of God and renew my mind so that I can prove what is His good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. That is my personal responsibility as a believer.
Amen. And, it's important for us to know, too, as believers, that just like Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. Now, you have believers that they run the gamut in terms of their understanding of how important the Word of God is.
Yeah.
Some believers think the Bible's kind of like a book of poetry, something you read from time to time
right.
that's entertaining.
Absolutely.
And that If it has a nice saying or two that I'll pay attention to from time to time, good.
And if you and use it as a bedtime story, because when you start reading it at night, it puts you to sleep.
Mm-hmm. But the sad reality, it's more like an instruction manual for life.
Oh, my God.
It's to feed your spirit. It's to nourish you. It's to inform you. It's to transform your thinking, your thought patterns.
Absolutely.
And everything is to center around the Word of God.
It is the Constitution. Mm-hmm. It is just like our American Constitution, which is under attack and has been for many, many years. And like the Word of God has been under attack. It is the Constitution of the Kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And how can you be a citizen and you not know what's in your Constitution? And the way you know it is somebody's got to teach you.
And a huge issue, even as it relates to this election, okay? For many believers, they're prepared to support a candidate who thinks it's okay to kill babies.
Yeah.
And
to promote gay marriage and lesbian marriage. Anyway,
things that we know that are clearly against the Word of God.
Yeah.
Now, for a believer to say, well, I think killing babies wrong, but I think this is the best candidate. Well, apparently they don't think much of the Word of God.
Mm-mm.
Because God's Word is very clear.
Yeah.
And now keep in mind, just like years ago, one president said that he noticed that all the people that are pro-choice have already been born.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reality is, again, it's like we're supporting someone who thinks it's okay to wipe out a whole segment of the population.
Well, and the black population. Margaret Sanger, I'll say it. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid. I mean, that was her mandate to extinct the black race from the earth. I mean, that was her mandate.
She didn't like black folks and a lot of other people either.
And other people of color, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Margaret Sanger was a wicked woman, of course, the lady who founded Planned Parenthood.
Absolutely.
But for too many people that consider themselves good Christians, this is a small issue.
Yeah.
And so that tells you there's a major problem with some believers that the Word of God doesn't carry nearly enough weight in their lives.
Well, even the outrage, Brother Joseph, and I go back and I've said this, and it may be, I don't know if it's appropriate or not, but even the marriage issue. And in the 1950s and 60s, there were the single parent households in the black community were about 7 or 8%.
Mm-hmm.
Today, single parent household is in the 80 something percent.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 1950s and 60s, babies born out of wedlock was 6 to 10%. Today, it's in the high 70s. So the majority of the babies that are born in the black community are born out of wedlock.
Mm-hmm.
When did that happen? It happened when the New Deal was created. And Lyndon Johnson says, if we give those, in his book called The Great Society, if we give those N-I-G-G-E-R-S a handout, they will vote for us for the next 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
Welfare is created. He hires 20,000 women to go throughout the United States. Look at it. It's in his book, The Great Society, and it's another one. I can get it to you. To recruit black women to get on welfare. And the stipulation for the black women getting on welfare is that the black man had to leave the home. Mm. So the Democratic Party were complicit in destroying the black family. Mm-hmm. And then the Democratic Party created a new family in 2015 by legalizing a marriage between a man and a man and a woman and a woman. And the black community was not outraged by that. So you would destroy my family. The black family, but you would be willing. Now you create a new unnatural family, and nobody says any, and nobody in the urban community talks about that. It's absolutely amazing, but it lets you know how disconnected we are to what's really going on, and how diabolical this thing is that nobody's willing to speak out. And then as I speak out against it, as me and my wife, then we're called Uncle Toms and all of that kind of stuff. And I mean, give me a break, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, where are we? We need help.
Sad.
Yeah.
Let's try to deal with one more question here.
Yeah.
A question where one of the persons in the chat room said that they've already voted and they feel bad about their choice. What should they do?
If you feel like you follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, I would be content in that. I think all of us have done that at some point. But this one, I know this election is extremely difficult from certain standpoints.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really look at the platforms that they're promoting, and you pray, and then the Holy Spirit tell you cast a vote. If you don't feel good about it, you just trust Him. And if you made a mistake, just ask Him to forgive you. I mean, it's just, and He'll forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Nothing you can do now. You've already done it. No sense of beating yourself over the head about it.
That's
Hopefully you made the right choice.
Pastor Kevin, for what it's worth, now I know I've heard a lot of people talk about how difficult it was for them For me, it's not difficult.
It's not difficult for me either.
It's really not difficult because, again, you see that one leans much further towards truth
That which is against
the
God.
Others, right?
Yeah, and then the other one is against God. Yeah, absolutely.
And when you, again, both at the platforms as well as the things the persons have said, mm-hmm. when you have one leader that is clearly stated, this is what I want to do, and it lines up with the mm-hmm. Word of God,
right.
and someone who basically is saying, I'm against the Word of God, right. the will of God, I'm against. In fact, I want you to change your values,
absolutely,
including your Bible perspective,
that's right.
so you can line up with me.
That's exactly right.
Well, see, that's not hard for a Christian to
do. No, that shouldn't be hard for a Christian to do that.
It shouldn't be.
No, it shouldn't be. But somehow or another, it has been with mm-hmm. some, you mm-hmm. know, because they're looking at the other one as a racist and, you know, so.
Well, we need to know that we live in a world where there's so much deception out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So much deception that comes from so many different directions. Yeah. And it's not just the media, but the media is a huge part of it because for many people, they live watching TV.
And that's why discernment is so crucially important. That's why you got to be able to discern the truth. But you'll have difficulty discerning truth if you keep looking at things that polarizes your perception. Can't do it. The mm-hmm. Word of God has to be your focal point. You got to mm-hmm. get with people, persons, and things that help you, that align themselves with the Word of God to be able to help you when it's difficult to make decisions. Then the Holy Spirit can say, this is the right path. Walk in it.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as we learn to really look to the Word of God to say, the Word of God says this, so this is where I stand.
This is where I stand.
This is where I stand. Yeah. But on the other hand, well, my party says this.
No.
Or NBC or ABC or whoever said this, or my best friend said this, or my kinfolk said this, and we're listening to so many different directions.
Yep.
God's word should be the bottom line.
That should be the bottom line.
It should be
the foundation
line.
Of what we do. Yeah. I think all believers should become nonpartisan. Get rid of your party. It'll help you so much clearly hear God's voice because you don't have both of these people throwing stuff at you. You know, do your due diligence in the platforms, as you said, but just don't grab and hold of an allegiance to either one of them, because when you do, it's almost like you accept what they promote, even if it's against God.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, you know, give it that. We've been independent for many, many years. We're going to vote our conscience and do what the Holy Spirit tells us to do.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, Pastor Kevin, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a blessing to have you in the studio with us. And we're just I'm going to close out with just a brief word of prayer. But again, one more time, if they want to get your book.
It's kjarm7@gmail.com or thekingsdomewc@gmail.com. And the phone number is 662-687-0187.
And again, How Would Jesus Vote is the title. Correct?
How Would Jesus Vote is the title.
Father, thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace. Yes. Lord, we place again this day, this election in your hands. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that Jesus is Lord over all of us, over our nation, over our world. And thank you for that truth, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening in on the Hour of Intercession. We appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.